We start them out day one, coming home from the hospital. We put them in car seats that have this C shape. And in effect, we're training them from day one to tuck their pelvis. And then they go to school and they sit like that. And if you sit on your tail, so to speak, the building block stack is disrupted and the upper part curves forward. Your head goes forward. Your shoulders go forward. And then our common fix for that, like every parent telling their kids, sit up straight, stand up straight, you're adding a second problem. Now you're asking them to sway their back, to thrust out their chest, squish all the elements in the low back. You haven't really gotten to the root of the problem, which is that they've tucked their pelvis. And when we give directions, not only to our kids, but also to our, you know, if you're in a fitness class, it's like, tuck your pelvis, sit up straight, thrust your chest out, lift your chest. All of these directions are not only unuseful, but they're actually problematic. They actually do destruction.
From the Weston A. Price Foundation, welcome to the Wise Traditions Podcast for wise traditions in food, farming, and the healing arts. We are your source for scientific knowledge and traditional wisdom to help you achieve optimal health.
Hey guys, I'm Hilda Labrador, and this is episode 188. Our guest today is Esther Gokley. Esther is the author of 8 Steps to a Pain-Free Back, and the founder of the Gokley Method Institute that helps people rediscover pain-free posture and movement. Esther herself struggled with crippling back pain, which you'll hear more about in just a bit. And you'll learn what she discovered along the way that has helped innumerable people around the world. All of us have a long way to go, actually, when it comes to understanding the way to stand, sit, and move that is in keeping with what worked for our ancestors as long as they've been on the earth. On today's episode, we gain insights on how we have been taught to sit and stand incorrectly, causing stress and tension in the body. Esther gives tips for how to sleep and sit differently, the correct position of the pelvis when standing, and more. It's a liberating, even mind-blowing conversation that I can't wait for you to hear. Before we get into it, we want to recognize our sponsors. Vintage Tradition, just in time for chapped, sunburned lip season, Vintage Tradition has come out with 4 great flavors of their tallow balm that you know and love in a convenient tube: citrus shine, peppermint stick, vanilla bean, and totally unscented. Protect your lips naturally at vintagetradition.com. And for a limited time, get 10% off your entire order with a coupon code PODCAST10. And Ancestral Supplements, intestines with tripe by Ancestral Supplements, putting back in what the modern world has left out. New Zealand-sourced nose-to-tail organ meats and bone marrow in convenient gelatin capsules. Our family is really hooked on these supplements, and they are based on the ancient wisdom of like supports like. Order yours today at ancestralsupplements.com. This is Holistic Hilda, and you're listening to Wise Traditions. Welcome to Wise Traditions, Esther.
It's wonderful to be here.
Now, I've heard it said that you are the posture guru of Silicon Valley. Why do they call you that?
That was the New York Times. I am pretty well known in this area because I've been here a while. And so what happens over time is students talk to their physicians and the physicians have me come in for their wellness retreats. And then it moves up the ladder. So it's at several rungs that the reputation has held in this area. And now it's spread around the world. But it starts as a grassroots instruction for end users with back pain, usually.
And a lot of people struggle with lower back pain. I think especially in the United States, it's trending upward. Is this related to our posture and what you call structural integrity?
I think so. And it's actually the number one cause of dysfunction globally. And it's the second most commonly cited reason for going to visit your doctor. I think posture has a lot to do with it. There's several reasons. And the most important one is that when we help people improve their posture, they get rid of their symptoms. And the efficacy of this is far beyond any of the other interventions. And so that's one reason to think, hey, it's posture. Fixing posture fixes the back pain. Very likely the problematic posture was causing the back pain. But there's also other research showing that there's correlation with particular kinds of spinal shapes and back pain. And then when you change, for example, an S-shaped spine to a J-shaped spine, that's a very important paradigm shift that we teach when they get rid of their back pain. So that's good reason to think that that was the problem. Posture was the problem.
So when you say J-shaped spine, does that have to do with some kind of pelvic tilt to the back?
Yeah, the hook of the J. When I talk about a J spine, I'm talking about a stylized J, kind of like a hockey stick. So the hook doesn't just curl up. It's just like a modern looking J, okay?
Yeah.
And the spine is much closer to that shape than it is to what's accepted in conventional wisdom as a normal shape for the human spine, which is very S-y. The S spine, lots of lumbar curve, lots of thoracic curve. And I think we're overdue for a paradigm shift. I think part of why we have so much trouble with our backs is because we are using a wrong paradigm. I think it's as wrong to say that the human spine is S-shaped as it used to be to say that the earth is flat. And we need to just shift that. The earth was never flat, and it took us ages to realize it was round. And now we need to realize that the human spine is J spine, not S spine. Yeah, that's a huge shift needs to happen.
I have an image coming to my mind of a traditional tribal person somewhere in the world. I feel like I've seen pictures all around the world of people standing in this kind of J spine position. And yet you're right. We've been told to stand differently, to tuck our tailbone under. Is that one of the things we need to correct?
That was one of the wrong turns we took about a century ago. Yeah. If you look at any indigenous person, if you look at an ancestral statue, if you look at young kids the world over, they have their behinds behind. And that is, I believe, a very natural characteristic of a human spine. And yet, yes, you're right. We are taught to tuck our pelvis and, in effect, sit on our tails, you know, and this is what every kid is doing. We start them out day one, coming home from the hospital. We put them in car seats that have this C shape. And in effect, we're training them from day one to tuck their pelvis. And then they go to school and they sit like that. And if you sit on your tail, so to speak, the building block stack is disrupted and the upper part curves forward. Your head goes forward. Your shoulders go forward. And then our common fix for that, like every parent telling their kids, sit up straight, stand up straight, you're adding a second problem. Now you're asking them to sway their back, to thrust out their chest, squish all the elements in the low back. You haven't really gotten to the root of the problem, which is that they've tucked their pelvis. And now you're adding a second problem, a compensation to make the appearance of being upright. So this is a huge problem and there's multi-layered. Then we design furniture to fit this shape. And our clothing is sewn to fit this S-shaped spine. And when we give directions, not only to our kids, but also to our, you know, if you're in a fitness class, it's like, tuck your pelvis, sit up straight, thrust your chest out, lift your chest. All of these directions are not only unuseful, but they're actually problematic. They actually do destruction.
Oh my gosh, you are blowing my mind right now. Because I feel like in life, what we do in the early years does set the stage for what happens down the line. So you're right, we're training our bodies to be in this unnatural position and creating the scenario that's going to lead to back pain and other problems.
I mean, it's once your eyes are open to it, as a parent, for example, it's a little horrifying that you've set your kid up for self-destruction. And I can't tell people to not use those car seats, but I do instruct parents to get their kids out of there as soon as the journey is over. Don't leave them sleeping there and taking them to the restaurants and so on and letting them learn this shape. And when it comes to other things like umbrella strollers, forget them. Anything that makes your kid a C shape is problematic. You want a straight back. You want room for their behind. It's called a behind for a reason. It's really meant to be behind. And then you want to train them, in effect. You're teaching them movement vocabulary as you hold them. You know? And so this is all very important. And then that needs to play out through life. You know, like the furniture you use is extremely important. It has to reflect a healthy shape and allow a healthy shape instead of coaching you to be some destructive shape.
So now that you're mentioning this, it makes me think about the new movement to sit on stability balls or kind of bouncy balls in some schools, and some people do this in their offices. Is that a good idea? Does that help us return more to the normal shape?
It's a lot better than the average chair, which slants backwards towards the back and encourages a pelvic tuck. But what I don't like about the balls is that they're not stable. And one of the effects that I like to teach students is the movement in the spine that accompanies the breath. So there's a very nature designed for movement to happen in your spine while you sit or stand at your desk, anything like that. Just in the background is a byproduct of breathing. There's a sort of natural lift with the inhalation and a settling with the exhalation. You can think of it as your inner massage therapist if you want. And, you know, that is designed to go on in the background because this part is so important. It's carrying precious cargo. Every nerve that goes to your body starts somewhere there. And so you want it kept in motion even when you are sedentary. And when you sit on something unstable, you lose that effect. The muscles do not relax enough to allow for this natural rise and fall with the breathing. So I prefer a stable chair, but with a seat that is well designed to tip your pelvis forward, not tuck it. You know, sometimes those balls are marketed as helpful to provide abdominal exercise because you're kind of jiggling around on a ball all day. And that's pretty lame. You know, if that's how you're getting your abdominal exercises, that's not really great. You want to get up and move around and develop your abdominal tone elsewhere.
Wow. Well, you're laying down the challenge. I'll think about that the next time I want to jump on one of those balls. But let's pivot a moment and talk about clients that you've worked with, because it sounds like you have a very thorough protocol for correcting this S-shaped spine and getting it more into that primal posture. Can you tell us the story of maybe one client or individual who saw their health improve or their back pain dissipate as they went through your program?
Well, there's someone on my mind right now, and that's Joan Baez. And she is 78 years old and touring the world, giving a concert in a new city every night or every other night, yeah, at age 78. And wow, there's been a long gap. And she, when she first came to me, she had pretty significant neck and back, especially neck strain and pain. And this work has allowed her to really address her structure and make root level changes so that she is not having any trouble doing these concerts at age 78. So I think that's pretty cool. And, you know, I really love her music. So it's particularly gratifying to see her go to a higher level of function. And even at an age where many people think you would be winding down.
Absolutely. And it's also encouraging to know it's never too late to address our structural integrity.
Never. We have 100-year-olds and you can almost always help people improve. It's like a cheat sheet they were never given, you know? So once they have this cheat sheet of how you're meant to be architected and move, then all kinds of improvements fall out of that. It's like a little, like little secrets that shouldn't be secrets.
Posture for dummies. You could write a book. It's a thing. But so let's go back.
I have a book.
Oh, awesome.
Eight Steps to a Pain-Free Back. And awesome. It has sold over 200,000 copies. And it has been translated in 10 languages. And it's a step-by-step guide on how you stretch sit and stretch lie and stack sit, and tall stand and hip hinge and glide walk and all of these techniques that we prefer to teach hands-on. And therefore, I've trained like 50 teachers around the world to give courses and consultations to people hands-on, because that's the best way to get it. But the book goes a long way towards giving people the ideas and the beginning techniques to make improvements.
Well, and we will definitely put a link in the show notes to that book so people can check it out.
Awesome.
But let's review again. Is primal posture primarily that J shape you were describing earlier?
You know, that's a big part of it because it has been so misunderstood, like the basic shape of the spine. Yeah. But there's much more to it. There's how you bend, how you walk. You know, everything has a healthy, natural way. And we teach all of it. You know, we start with shaping the spine, and we use everyday activities to do that. So it's in the way that you sit is the how you architect and change the spine. It's not that you take a whole bunch of time out of your life and do a bunch of exercises. You know, I'm not dissing exercise by any means, but that's like a little extra side dish. Your staple for making changes in the body is how you do everyday activities, you know, like sitting, standing, bending, and so on.
Yes. For example, I think I saw on your website the idea of when we're going to pick something up, hinging at the hips, which children do naturally all the time. But somehow we've gotten away from that. And we think, oh, that can't be good for my back, right?
Yeah, we're taught not to do that. We're taught to bend with the knees. And the truth is the professional benders in the world, they bend at their hips primarily. Yeah. And they only bend their knees a little bit as needed for the task, unless the load is too heavy for their back, and then they use their knees. But if you think about it, even in our modern culture, the heaviest weights in the world are lifted with the hip hinge. Like think Olympic deadlifts. You know, we hinge at the hips when we have to lift the very heaviest weights. So, and football players are hinging at their hips when they bend in their power position. So we do have this notion in modern culture, but most people have left it behind when it comes to everyday movements. You know, they are rounding their back and doing a lot of damage. That's maybe, it's not exaggeration to say that bending is where the most damage happens typically. You know, the events that land people in the emergency rooms, and also the repeat degeneration and inflammations and so on. That happens. A lot goes wrong with the way people bend.
Coming up, Esther covers the role that diet plays in posture and pain. And she also tells how she herself overcame debilitating back pain.
You're listening to the Wise Traditions podcast from the Weston A. Price Foundation. We pause now to recognize our sponsors.
Grass-fed intestines with tripe by Ancestral Supplements. Ancestral Supplements offer New Zealand-sourced, nose-to-tail, organ meats, bone marrow, and intestines with tripe in simple, convenient gelatin capsules. According to the great John Fire, Lame Deer, the eating of guts evolved into a contest. Quote, "In the old days, we used to eat the guts of the buffalo, making a contest of it. Two fellows getting hold of a long piece of intestines from opposite ends started chewing toward the middle, seeing who could get there first. That's eating. Those buffalo guts, full of half-fermented, half-digested grass and herbs, you didn't need any pills and vitamins when you swallowed those." End quote. Intestines, stomach, tripe, and other gelatinous parts provided concentrated amounts of connective tissue, undenatured collagen, probiotics, and other gut-specific proteins that are now absent from the modern diet. So visit AncestralSupplements.com to see what they can do for you. Ancestral Supplements, putting back in what the modern world has left out. And Mike, the Heal Your Gut Guy, are you dealing with digestive issues? Do you react to delicious sourdough bread and other starches? Do you pay dearly when you eat cheap foods? Mike, the Heal Your Gut Guy, also suffered from these issues, even when following Weston A. Price dietary principles. Mike will show you the extra steps he took to heal himself and how he helps many others take care of gut issues like Crohn's, colitis, IBS, SIBO, and Candida. Mike will show you how to heal your gut 100% naturally without drugs. The Heal Your Gut Guy YouTube channel page has the videos you need to heal your gut. You don't have to walk a dietary tightrope. Just search for the Heal Your Gut Guy on YouTube. You'll find tons of free information rooted in the laws of Mother Nature and ancestral wisdom. This is Holistic Hilda, and you're listening to Wise Traditions. Have you noticed any impact of diet? Of course, on the Weston Price Foundation, we're all about food, farming, and the healing arts, and maybe these aren't related, but does diet impact people's posture and their bone density and all that? I imagine it does.
It absolutely does. It's an important factor, but I would say that posture is the most directly linked characteristic when it comes to back pain and those kinds of structural problems. Just like posture actually influences the digestive system. You know, like if you have a tucked pelvis, you have just lost a third of the volume for your pelvic organs. You know, your 22 feet of intestines, if you're a woman, your uterus all gets squished in there and compromised in their function. Not to mention that, you know, distorted posture also shuts down the circulation to some degree and the innervation, the nerve function to those organs. But even so, I would say it's a less direct effect than diet, right? Diet is the most important for your digestion, and posture is the most important for your musculoskeletal health. And so, and the other things absolutely are important. You know, all these basic health measures are important for everything, including mood. You know, now there's research showing your diet affects your mood, of course, and it turns out your posture does too. There's a recent New Zealand study showing that it's much harder to be depressed when you have good upright body posture. And when you have hunched body posture, it correlates with depression.
Yeah, that makes sense, because even the word depression connotes something being squished down.
Isn't that funny, you know, how our language captures this connection in many phrases that we use. It captures the connection between our posture and emotional health, you know, like being downcast and so many phrases. And now that's coming through in the medical literature, that there is this connection. And you know, if you think about it from a commonsensical point of view, you think about animals and how do you know how they're feeling? It's through their posture. If their tail is tucked between their legs, if their head is hung low, we know this dog is submissive, depressed. Yeah. And if its head is high and its tail is wagging and up, then we know that's a happy dog. So we know we see that correlation in animals and recognize it, but we've sort of lost track of that correlation with ourselves. But it's very much there.
So I'm curious, have you heard of that philosophy of the kind of power stance that before you go into a meeting, if you spread your feet apart and stand tall, then you have a different sense of well-being and confidence as you enter the meeting? Do you agree with that?
I think that's very valid, but it's a very simplistic first pass at the correlation between posture and emotional health. And what you really want is to invite a much more deep appreciation of posture, not just flinging your hands up for 5 minutes, which will counter your shoulders forward and so on, but only for 5 minutes, but really affect your root posture. So it's not just a 5 minute sort of little cosmetic job, so to speak, you know, or a little tiny makeover, but really address where your pelvis sits for most of the day and how your shoulders and circulation and nerves are functioning, not just in the 5 minutes before a meeting, but all day.
Oh, that's excellent. That makes a lot of sense to me. Now, talk to us a little bit about our position or posture as we sleep. What do you recommend, Esther?
So there are two reasons to try to improve your sleep posture. One is so that you enjoy better health while you're sleeping, deeper sleep, better circulation, and all of that. And the other is to let your brain get accustomed to improved architecture. You know, it's an opportunity because you have the bed, and however you set yourself down for the night, you're likely, especially if it's a comfortable position, to last there for some time. And then your brain is learning this improved architecture. So the most important characteristic is to have extra length. So we teach people stretch lying on the back, for example. And on our website, we have videos on how to do this, as well as, you know, my book describes step by step. So you sort of hoist yourself up onto your elbows. Your upper body is on your elbows. Your knees are bent. And then you dig your elbows into the bed and down towards your feet as you unroll one segment of your back onto the bed at a time. So you're creating a little bit of extra length. There's also a technique, stretch lying on the side, and I describe, that's a little harder. I describe it in my DVD. And again, the basic principle is that you're adding length, but there you're also focusing on the pelvic position and the J spine, having your behind behind. And if you can have that extra length and a sound shape in your back, then you will last longer in that position. You will sleep deeper. And then your brain is learning it for standing and walking and all these other activities.
I understand that 1/3 of our lives is spent asleep. Why not take advantage of those moments when we're resting to train our bodies in the right direction?
Indeed. So, you know, it just takes a second or two, and all the effects are positive. It's not a sacrifice. You know, the only sacrifice is it takes 1 or 2 seconds to arrange yourself well, to add this extra length, to arrange your shape better. So, and it does take some learning to know how to do that. But, you know, once you've learned, it's your body just loves it. You know, it just feels so comfortable. It's one of the first effects that people comment on. You know, we teach courses, and there are 6 lessons. Sometimes we have an intensive course in one day, a pop-up course. But when we teach several lessons, people invariably come back from the first lesson and say, I'm shocked. I woke up in the morning. I was in the same position that I went to sleep in. I mean, that's quite a common report. Mm-hmm. And that includes people who say, I've never slept on my back in my life. I've never been able to, but I was just so comfortable. So that is not a big sacrifice, right? It's like a few seconds.
It's worth it. Yeah, definitely. Now let's talk a little bit about the research or science that indicates what the role is of the spine in our movement and our overall health.
Yeah. So there is indication, you know, that posture is one of the most important factors for back pain. So, for example, there's a crowdsourcing website called healthoutcome.org, and they rate all 45 interventions for lower back pain. And so it's crowdsourcing. So they have over 157,000 people who have left reviews on every intervention they've tried for their lower back pain. And that includes all the well-known ones, you know, massage and chiropractic and physical therapy and epidural injections and surgery and you name it. And the one that comes out on top, the number one, is the Gokhale method by a very, very big margin. Huh. And posture in general comes up extremely high. So right there is data, third-party data, saying that posture is really, really important for back pain. And, you know, now there's increasing evidence that posture helps physiological health and psychological health, helps mind state. So I'm really looking forward to more controlled studies. And we've done in-house studies showing that we get pretty spectacular results. Lots of people go from having severe problems to having no problems or much improved symptoms. So, you know, there's more studies to be done. You know, like in your field, there isn't pharma money, you know, that's invested in doing these studies. You know, it's hard to get the funding, the initial funding going, showing that posture helps back pain and helps general health. But it's coming slowly.
Yes, I believe it. And tell me, have you personally experienced this, Esther? I don't really know your story and relationship to posture.
Well, I started the hard way, you know, like most people do. I had severe problems with an L5-S1 disc herniation that started in the 9th month of pregnancy with my first child. And I had horrible pain, like an ice pick in my butt, and I couldn't pick up my baby after she was born, and I couldn't pick up a cooking pot, and I couldn't sleep through the night more than 2 hours without severe spasm. And I had tried all the usual things, you know, chiropractic, acupuncture, massage, physical therapy, exercises, me checking my head, you name it. And I hadn't gotten good results. And it wasn't till I changed my structure and I did all the things that I now teach and that I've written about in my book that I got a solution. And the solution was complete. I completely got rid of my back pain. It's over 25 years. I've not had an ache or a pain or a twinge. I had been told not to have any more children after I ended up having surgery for my back because I was desperate, a laminectomy, discectomy. And then I was told, you have a weak back, you have numerous bulging discs, we recommend no more kids. And that was a blow to me. But after I sorted out the true cause of my pain and I changed my structure, my spine is now J-shaped, not S-shaped. Now, I used to be a gymnast when I was a kid, and I used to be a yoga model in Bombay, and I used to thrust my chest out and arch my back, and I had internalized that posture. And after I changed all of that, using the techniques I now teach, it just completely took care of my back pain. And I had the confidence to have two more children, no problems whatsoever. And now I have the pleasure to teach other people how to empower themselves, that they're actually better designed than they've been given to believe. And that, you know, even if you have weak ligaments and you've had surgery in the past, there's hope. You can improve your posture. You can improve your experience of life. And that there are all these wonderful side benefits. Like my earliest one was a huge increase in energy. Mm. You know, it's like I'm out of my own way. My blood flows well. My nerves are not getting impinged at their roots. And lymph drains well. And, you know, I'm not, my structure is supporting my physiology and my health.
Wow. Well, you've given us so much food for thought. And as we've been speaking, I've been working on my posture as well.
Oh, nice.
But do tell me, if the listener could do one thing to start to address this erroneous paradigm of the S-shaped spine and to more of a primal posture, what would you recommend that they do? Where should they start?
I think lengthening the spine is the best place to start. It's a little bit like if you want to remodel something, like suppose you want to make a clay pot, you start with preparing the clay. You can't just force changes on its shape because then you're going to crack the clay and have events. You're going to squish some disc or pinch some nerve. And so you first want to start with elongating your spine. And there are two techniques that are like low-hanging, juicy fruit that can help you do that. And one is stretch sitting, and the other is stretch lying. And I described stretch lying briefly. And stretch sitting, anytime you are sitting, you want to lengthen your back by curving your ribcage forward and undoing any sway you have and pushing with your hands against the seat so as to further kind of ease your back into extra length before you attach it to some kind of outcropping in the backrest. And I have I have implements that I've designed for this, but people can also just use towel to hook themselves so that they retain the stretch. And I have these techniques in videos, clips on our channel on YouTube and on our website so people can learn them. These are the easy techniques to learn. And that's an additional reason to start there. Start elongating your spine. These are easy techniques. They are safe and they prepare you for the subsequent remodel that you can do, because usually this gives you immediate gratification and now you're encouraged to learn more. So that's where I recommend beginning. There are other ways to elongate the spine by using the deep muscles in the belly to engage and make you a little slenderer, and then the stuff has to go somewhere, so that makes you taller. But that's step two. First, do the easy ones. Stretch sitting, stretch lying. Make yourself a little taller, a little more relaxed, and a little more protected.
I love it. If we start with the easy stuff, then we will be inspired probably to continue on. So thank you so much, Esther, for this conversation. It's been really enlightening.
It's been a pleasure.
Our guest today was Esther Gokley. Check out her website, gokleymethod.com, and that's spelled G-O-K-H-A-L-E. GokleyMethod.com. And I'm Holistic Hilda. Follow me on Instagram at Holistic Hilda. For the complete show notes for this and all podcast episodes, just go to our website, WestonAPrice.org. And that's it. Let's keep in touch, everybody, and I'll see you next time.
On behalf of the Weston A. Price Foundation, thanks for listening. We have many free resources to support you on your health journey. Visit WestonAPrice.org to find podcasts, articles, videos, and more. You can also find a local chapter near you for help in finding sources of great food. We invite you to support the Foundation's mission of education, research, and activism by becoming a member. Thanks again, and take care. Wise Traditions is a project of the Weston A. Price Foundation for Wise Traditions in Food, Farming, and the Healing Arts. The content on this podcast is provided for informational purposes only and is not intended to substitute for the advice provided by your doctor or other healthcare professional. It is not intended to be, nor does it constitute healthcare or medical advice.